From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of August 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in a half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, that belongs to the Andersons. In today's agricultural news, Homeland Security wants to regulate the sale of ammonium nitrate. It's posted the details to the Federal Register. And USDA and the CDC have not yet been able to trace the source of a March outbreak of salmonella in ground turkey. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories, and then I'll tell you why consumers are paying record high prices for beef right now, and why the ag economists at Purdue are predicting another jump in 2012. Then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City as we wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby September soft red winter wheat down 7.5 cents, a settlement price at $7.10.5 a bushel. December at $7.50, down 8.75, and next year's July at $8.07.25, down 10.75. In Kansas City, the July futures down 13.75 for the hard red at $8.38.25. Back in Chicago from the CME Group, nearby September corn $7.06, the settlement price down 5.25. December 7.13, 2.75 cents lower, and the March corn at 7.25.5, down 1.75. May futures at $7.30, down 1.75. July at 7.33.75, 1.5 lower, and next year's December at $6.50.5, down 0.25. August soybean futures today 9 cents lower, $13.64. September at 13.63.75, 6.25 lower. November at 13.73, down 6.75. And January futures at 13.83.5, down 6.75 as well. March contract in the bean pit, $13.89.75, 6.5 lower. And the July soybeans at 13.93.5, down 8.25. The November of 2012 at 13.45, down 9.25. Bean meal finished the August at 3.53, down $4.20. Bean oil at 56.28, down 81 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby lead option August at 113.12.5, up 57.5 cents. Feeders at 134.35, down 65, and hogs at 104.65, 85 higher for the day. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil at $91.73 a barrel, down $2.06. Ethanol at $2.80, down 4.2 cents. And the natural gas at $4.07, down 6.8 cents. Heating oil, otherwise known as diesel fuel, at $3.03, down 7.7. And the gold futures on the afternoon, a gain today of $21.50 a troy ounce at $1,663.40. The Dow down just about 35 points at this hour at 11,831. The dollar at 74.05, down 0.47. And the CRB index at 337.31, down 4.51 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the two-state region says that in Urbana-Champaign this afternoon, we'll see mostly sunny skies. The high will be near 91 degrees. We'll have a north wind at about 11 miles an hour tonight. Partly cloudy skies, a low of 65, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 84 degrees, northeast winds at about 6 miles an hour again. And then Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. Should be mostly cloudy in the area, a low of 69 degrees. Friday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high Friday of 85 degrees. Friday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms continues at 30%, mostly cloudy, a low of 70 degrees, and on Saturday, a partly sunny day, a high near 86. There will be a few showers around, a thunderstorm or two, set at 30% again. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 71 degrees. Sunday, mostly sunny, 86. Sunday night, cloudy and 66. Monday, mostly sunny as we start the new week, and a high near 83 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast when we talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the futures markets, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What happened in the marketplace today?
Well, gold is up substantially, and of course the central banks are buying it. We understand that South Korea has been buying a big chunk of gold, and then in the recent weeks, Mexico, Russia, or some of the countries that are buying gold, and of course the worry about inflation and weak currencies in the world, that's the easy one to talk about. Crude oil, on the other hand, is weaker because of the economic slowdown in the world, and of course the stock market's about unchanged. The commodity, of course, that we have the most interest in, of course, is the corn and soybean market. And we did see a slightly weaker tone. The market digested FC Stone's numbers. They focused in on that. And, of course, people are also focusing in on maybe some of the tip backs that we're hearing and also focusing on the weather forecast. And as a result of that, they're bracing themselves for Informa's report tomorrow at 10:30, and then, of course, the USDA's numbers down the road. So there's a lot on the plate. People are extremely nervous and, worried about their corn crop.
And what did FC Stone say today?
Well, yesterday evening, 153.2 on bushels on corn and 42.4 bushels on soybeans. And of course, the heat is a big factor. The states they basically lowered considerably is Kansas, 30 bushels to the acre, Ohio, 11 bushels, Indiana, 5, and Missouri, 2.
So they dropped it substantially from the 158.7 that USDA is currently using, and they're just not too far above, I think, what was it, a 152.4 from last year. Would you agree with their number, or are you higher than that?
Well, I did, after my conversation this morning, the phones lit up on WILL, so there's definitely some listeners that listen to what I have to say. And, I do want to mention with caution that the USDA has been notoriously, could come out with a pretty big number, and also by counting the stocks, and then also with their crop ratings debacle earlier on Monday. Near as we can tell, I have been basically thinking we would have a number slightly under that, but this to me was a considerable shock, and some of some of the prime traders and company people and hedge funds have people scouting the roads, and of course the feeling is that the crop could be close to that, and of course the closer we get to 150, the closer we're going to see a pretty good rally in the marketplace, Todd. So this is a very high stakes deal. And a lot of people are watching it very carefully.
Are you, when you balance out what's been lost in those areas with Iowa, Nebraska, maybe parts of Minnesota, parts of Illinois, do you feel like there's a balance in the act that could hold that average national yield a bit higher?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and of course, we do know this, that the temperatures are going to cool off considerably for 10 to 12 days after the weekend, and the near as we can tell, maybe 4/10 to 8/10 of an inch is what my key meteorologist said that's going to happen through central Illinois, but quite possibly we are setting up for a number that's closer to, let's say, to the 150 mark than we are looking at a number closer to the 160 mark. So it could be conceivably very close to seeing something under the 155 at this time.
Yet the trade only lost five and a quarter cents today, despite the FC Stone's release.
Well, that's true, and a couple of reasons. Of course, we do know we have tremendous competitors with wheat. There's a flood of and a world supply of wheat that's unbelievable. We have a major economic slowdown here in the U.S. and around the world, and it's going to be very hard to export corn in the third place. And on top of that, we do have time, of course, to still have a good rain to save the soybean crop, so to speak. And the one other factor here is we both know with cooler temperatures, and even if you have tipped back with enough rain and cool temperatures, you know, it will fill out and have the kernel size will improve to some extent. The problem is there's a lot of unknowns in here, and once we know with the Internet, these new technologies with cameras, the commodity trader is a better informed person that's out in the field than anyone in Chicago standing by a buy-sell desk with an order pad. So we are seeing better information that's put out at a quicker pace than I've ever seen in my entire life. So, you know, there's some very good informed people, and these people bet a lot of money, and when they're discouraged with what they see in the field, you know, it does move the market.
Are you thinking that the inflationary hedge in the gold market will show up again sometime soon in the commodities, or has it been built
out? No, I think it's two different worlds, and at least for 60 days. And the reason I say that is, these central banks buying gold is a stabilizing influence, but I'm worried that we're going to see major cuts in the budgets of a lot of different areas. It does indicate that, this could be positive in some economic circles, but in the same time, we are going to see some changes in the way we do business in the government. And that's also a factor. But getting back to the corn, to me, it's going to be very hard to export $8 or use $8 corn with this kind of an economic climate in this country.
Paul, thank you so much.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Now, just a few minutes from now at about 2:20, rather in about 20 minutes, at about 2:36 this afternoon. If you're listening to our home station, which is WILL in Urbana-Champaign, our signal may disappear or get very fuzzy. We'll be coming down for just a bit, and we'll be doing that on and off over the next month. We encourage you to listen to us online at willag.org or to one of our many other radio stations that carry the Closing Market Report, including WGFA and WHPO, WTIM, and WKEI, among others. Thank you so much for your patience while we update our towers. They're doing some painting and some other work there.
In agricultural news, Homeland Security's proposal to regulate sale and use of ammonium nitrate is now posted on the Federal Register's website. Ammonium nitrate is one of the most common farm fertilizers in the world. The Ammonium Nitrate Security Program would require those who purchase, sell, or transfer at least 25 pounds of the chemical in the U.S. to register with the government so that they may be screened against U.S. terror watch lists. The Homeland Security Department would give registration numbers to those who are approved to buy, sell, or transfer ammonium nitrate. Those with registration numbers would also be required to keep records and report the theft or loss of the chemical within 24 hours of discovering it missing. The Agriculture Department and the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say they are still looking for a source of a salmonella outbreak linked to ground turkey, which dates back to March. The Minnesota-based meat company Cargill said yesterday that it has been contacted by the USDA as part of the investigation and is working with the department. Cargill has not been named as the culprit. Another large Minnesota-based producer of ground turkey, Hormel, says it has not been contacted by USDA. 76 people in 26 states have been made sick from the same strain of the disease, and one person has died. Fertilizer maker and farm products retailer Agrum Incorporated's quarterly profit topped estimates, helped by higher nutrient prices and strong retail sales. Second quarter profit rose to $718 million, or $4.54 a share, from $518 million, or $3.28 a share last year. Sales rose 40% to $6.2 billion. Analysts, on average, were expecting the company to earn $4.19 a share on revenue of $5.18 billion. The top U.S. corn and soybean state of Iowa had its hottest July in 56 years. The preliminary statewide temperature for the month was 5 degrees above average, 78.8 degrees. July 2011 was the seventh warmest month for Iowa in 139 years of record-keeping in the state. And Russia's Grain Union says that Russia's grain exports may accelerate to 3.5 million tons in August, beating a record 2 million tons in July. Most of the volume will be wheat, which will account for not less than 80 to 90% of total grain exports. Grain officials say that Russia has the potential to export as much as 25 million tons of grain in the 2011-12 crop year. After last year's export ban forced traders to cancel contracts, Russia is working to establish itself in Asia and regain market share in the Middle East by offering discounts to buyers. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media and the author of our free weekend newsletter. You can sign up for that letter on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you're already signed up, you can come back and manage your account. Either way, if you're signing up fresh or you're coming back to manage your account, when you put your cell phone number into that online form, we'll be sure to send you a text on the day of USDA reports. The next one, of course, is August the 12th. That's the crop production figures. Around 7:30 a.m., Dave will be feverishly inputting those numbers into both the newsletter and the text form at 7:30 a.m. Central Time, the day of the report. That's when it's released, and you will get them shortly after he hits the send button. Be sure to visit us online and sign up at willag.org on the right-hand side of the page. Now, up next, you know, the price of beef at the supermarket should be headed higher again. I'll have more on why there is less beef to go around. There are many factors that have led to higher-priced beef in the meat case. Purdue Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt says the high price of feed, drought in the southern states, and a weak U.S. dollar that has made it cheaper for other countries to import beef from the United States are chief among the reasons.
This is going to support prices across the cattle complex at new record highs in 2011 and again in 2012. Unfortunately, even higher retail beef prices can be expected for consumers.
Now let's deal with the factors causing these high prices separately. Since 2007, the price of feed has gone up sharply. Consequently, the number of beef cows in the United States has declined 5% over the last 4 years. So, the high price of feed has caused farmers and ranchers to feed fewer animals. At the same time, the U.S. dollar has weakened. That means people in other countries can more easily afford to eat beef imported from the United States. So, we have fewer cattle going to market in the U.S., and of those, more are being consumed outside of the U.S. Again, here's Purdue's Chris Hurt.
Beef trade is back as a contributor to beef prices as well. In 2003, beef exports reached a record representing 9.6% of domestic production. Then, the discovery of a BSE cow late in 2003 caused most buyers to shun U.S. beef, and exports dropped to just 2.3% of production in 2004. It's taken a long time, but 2011 is expected to result in a record 10% of our production heading to foreign consumers.
Most of that U.S. beef is headed to Japan and South Korea, spurred by the weakness in the U.S. dollar. It paints a pretty simple economic picture for U.S. consumers. There's less beef produced in the United States, and more of that supply is headed overseas.
In 2006 and 2007, before feed prices surged, U.S. consumers had over 65 pounds of beef available per person. This year, USDA analysts expect that to be down to just 57.9 pounds and drop again to only 55.6 pounds per person in 2012.
That's a 15% decline in available supplies of beef. And throw a drought in the southwestern and southeastern United States on top of that already tight supply line, and it gets even tighter. It means consumers can expect to pay more for beef this year and again next year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Scott Butcher of the Anderson's Climbers facility that's in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line with us to take up what's been happening in the basis markets. Thank you, Scott, for being with us this afternoon. Tell me about basis in your area, please.
No problem, Todd. We're seeing basis values everywhere in our marketplace kind of fading away. Both the rail shipper and the processor seem to be getting their needs met for August and kind of backing away everywhere, it seems like, this evening.
And when you look out across the landscape at both the corn and the soybeans, do you think the upcoming crop in your area is there?
I do. I think that the corn crop is going to be good in our area. I don't think that we've got a bumper crop by any means. We'll know that sooner than later, I think. But I do think that we've got a good crop. I think that in our area, it seems like the heat really hasn't hurt it too bad. It's been able to, for what it's been through, I guess, it looks pretty good. Beans, I think, also are going to be pretty good in our area. We've got the beans are big. They look healthy. We haven't really seen any disease issues yet to speak of. They seem to be enjoying the hot weather. I don't think that they've been really hurt too bad. If we get some rains here in August, I think we could have a really good bean crop.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, we are 761. Beans, 1363.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Thanks, Todd.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons, back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather.
It's National Watermelon Day. It's also St. Lydia's Day, patron of clothes dryers. On this day in agricultural history in 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed from Spain on his first voyage to what he thought were the Indies. In 1801, Sir Joseph Paxton was born. Paxton was an English landscape gardener and a hothouse designer. He was the architect of the Crystal Palace at the Great Exhibition of 1851 in London. In 1806, Michael Addison was born. Addison was a French botanist who developed a system of plant classification based on physical characteristics. In 1811, Elisha Graves Otis was born. He invented the first safe elevator and opened the door to rooftop restaurants. His elevator featured an automatic safety brake, a spring-loaded bar that caught on the rails if the elevator cable broke. In 1914, the first ships passed through the Panama Canal. And in 1921, John McCready became the first person to crop dust from an airplane. He did it over a farm near Troy, Ohio, to kill an infestation of caterpillars. By the way, he also was a co-pilot on the first nonstop U.S. transcontinental flight in May of 1923. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. As always, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is with us to talk about the agricultural weather forecast for the nation and the planet. Drew, what do you see that's of interest this week?
Well, certainly the U.S. weather is still top of the list for problem areas around the world, even though we are seeing some cooler conditions spreading across the area and a chance for showers in the forecast here. So we go forward through the next week. We are going to see a little temporary period of relief. Now, it's really important to keep everything in perspective. This is August, in case you weren't familiar with that. August is always a month where it is almost impossible to get the soil moisture to increase in a dramatic way, just given normal temperatures. I mean, we need a tropical cyclone to come along or some kind of major upper-level disturbance to come in and generate the kind of rain that we need in order to bring back soil moisture to normal. And so I don't see either one on the horizon right now. So the showers that we get over the coming week, along with the temperatures that are going to cool back down to close to normal, it really only offers a temporary reprieve, and we're not going to fix moisture deficits. So as we go into the second half of August and we see the potential for another period of warmer weather to come along, we're probably going to see another round of stress coming up for a lot of the crop areas across the region. So we're watching real closely for that evolution. But for right now, we do have showers that are going to scatter across the region over the next week to 10 days. Rain amounts will be highly variable. Most of the Midwest will see quarter to three-quarter inch type rains in each of the next 2 weeks, which will be okay, but again, it doesn't fix the deficits because our evaporation rates will still be quite high. Outside of the U.S., we're still watching a couple of areas of interest. In Russia, the south-central parts of that country in the lower Volga River Basin have had a very severe drought this year. They are actually cooling off at the moment after being as hot as 111 degrees over the past week, and they, too, will get a chance for showers today and tomorrow, but they, too, will not get enough moisture, and it's not going to fix much of anything over there, just a temporary reprieve. China's in pretty good shape. India's got some dryness that's evolving across some of the northwest and interior south, but so far it's not a big crisis. The only other place that I would suggest keeping an eye on right now is in Australia. Queensland and northern New South Wales, their wheat and barley will start to reproduce at the end of August and into early September, and so far it's very dry across that region with no prospects for rain out the next 10 days, so we'll have to watch that pretty closely.
Do you expect the nighttime temperatures to remain as high as they have been over the last month?
I think we'll see a little bit of a break over this next 10-day period. We'll see most of the Midwest seeing lows that will slip back below 70 degrees. I'll see some 60s. Every once in a while, we'll still get above a 70 in a few spots. But no, it won't be quite like it has been. This will reprieve, will last for about 10 days, and then after that, we're probably going to get another round of fairly warm conditions again. So we'll be back at it again. But I think August of 2010 was worse off than what I think we'll see this year.
And then finally, where are the isolated, and I'm going to say isolated, but they may be much bigger than that, dry pockets in the Midwest?
Well, the biggest area is from central Illinois into parts of central and southern Indiana. That area's had a lot of that area's had less than a half inch of moisture since the 1st of July. There's also problems in parts of eastern Kansas and Missouri. And there's even a few areas in south central through southeastern portions of Iowa that are also quite dry at this point in time. So all those areas, pretty important production regions, and they all have reported at least some degree of significant stress in the past week.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.